Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hey, good morning, Zach.
Good morning, David.
So today I had an interesting interaction at the coffee shop. There were two extra coffees that the person didn't in front of us ordered, and they left and didn't pick up. And so the barista said, hey, these are going to go, you know, cold. Does anybody want them? And, you know, me and this woman raised our hand at the same time, like, hey, you know, I'll take a free coffee, you know. This woman had kids with her, and she raised her hands first. And so they offered her both the coffees, and she took both of them. I didn't get a coffee.
At that point, is that when you jumped over the counter and put that put that barista in a stranglehold?
No, man.
I had to bail him out of jail this morning, folks.
No, Zach. I practice our Life Lab lessons. But I did feel that it was rather unfair.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Fairness. Yeah. Fairness. That's what we're talking about here today, folks. Right. Oh, boy. Well, let's start with a definition. You like to do that, usually. Do you have one?
Yeah. Okay. So the one that I picked, it's okay. The definition of fair is impartial and just treatment or behavior without favoritism or discrimination. So I feel I was discriminated in that one. I deserved the coffee as much as she did. Just because I didn't have kids and, you know, that some screaming kids in there doesn't mean that I should get treated.
I do think that's interesting. I want to stick on that word because that's a legal word. But people throw it around a lot, but there's a specific meaning for it in a legal context, and it's also tied to stereotype and prejudice. Stereotypes and overgeneralization based on a partial truth. Prejudice is a negative feeling that someone experiences towards a whole group of people, typically, or a topic, and then discrimination is a patterned behavior going against a type of person or a group of people. But the key for discrimination in that legal context, and attorneys could jump on this and be like, oh, he's fucking wrong, whatever. But from what I recall from learning about this in the books I've read, it's a patterned behavior. And so in your case, I would say you weren't discriminated against because unless you're there every day and they're giving away those coffees.
I'm going to run an experiment. I'm going to have Lauren come in. Dylan's going to be throwing a fit.
That's funny.
And we're going to see if they always give it to Lauren with the kids.
No, but fairness is key because it does tie to feelings. It ties to how we feel. I feel that it wasn't fair.
Right. I didn't deserve a free coffee. You know what I mean? I think, and we'll get into this later because there's some other stuff we want to talk about, but it's like, you know, there are situations where you either get something or don't get something, and there's no like reason or logic behind it, but you end up with emotion, right? On whether you did or didn't, because like the opportunity presented itself.
Right.
And then you either got it or didn't get it, and now you have emotion based on it. And now you're like, that's either fair or that's not fair.
Right.
It's an interesting thing. So anyway.
It's very black or white, absolute. It's yes or no on this. And maybe it's more in continuum, shades of gray on in fairness in a lot of different ways.
It is.
But most people don't view it that way.
Right.
We view it in terms of it was unfair or it was fair. And there's no in between.
Well, and I think the interesting thing about fairness is people judge the outcome oftentimes based on the process. So even if something unfavorable happened to them, if they can justify the way that it happened, the process, then they can still have still avoid negative emotions from it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the things. I'm all about fairness of opportunity for people, but not fairness of outcome.
Right.
Because fairness of outcome implies some authority, centralized figure determining what outcomes are good and bad, and it takes away the effort or the talents or the skills or the dedication that people put into whatever it is we're talking about.
Well, I wouldn't say fairness of outcome, but equality of outcome.
Sure.
And so I mean, then maybe that's a good one. What's the difference between fairness and equality? Because I do think there is a difference between fairness and equality, right?
Yeah, fairness is equity. Equality is we have the exact same thing.
Right.
Equity is trying to get a fair outcome. And so the meme that everyone shares is the little kids trying to watch the baseball game from behind the fence. And equality is all the kids have the same size box they're standing on and some kids still can't see. Equity is giving bigger boxes to the shorter kids so that they can then see.
Yeah, that would that's be a meme. Fairness. I've seen that meme.
And I'm not saying that's good or bad, right or wrong. That's just a thing. But that would be how you can differentiate between fairness versus equal.
Well, and that meme advocates for equality of outcome, not equality of opportunity.
Correct.
Where I think what you were saying is you prefer equality of opportunity.
Yes.
And each individual has differing abilities to capitalize on that opportunity or not, which then can result in a different outcome.
For me, this topic really gets to philosophy very quickly. My philosophy it's different than other people's, but I believe life isn't fair, right? You hear people say that all the time. What does that really mean? Life is struggle. You're born into this world and it is trying to end you, period. Like everything from the time you're a baby, everyone has to take care of you until you're old enough. Every decision we're making throughout the day, it's difficult. There's no right path, no playbook. And life is natural selection is trying to take shit from you all the time. It's just like crushing in on you. And so for me, for people that expect everything to be fair, that, it's like going against the universe.
It is going against. Okay, so that's where my thoughts were going. You know, and I always think about it this way. It's like nature is unfair.
Yes.
You know, but the argument I always hear from.
Or is it though? Humans would say,
well, no. Here's what I hear humans say whenever we talk about this. The ones that I've talked with this about, they say, yeah, but we as humans have the ability to transcend and become better. And I'm just like, uh-huh. Like we're not a part of nature. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the technologist in all of us that we want to be beyond. We can control nature.
Right. Exactly.
We're beyond animals.
We want control. Yeah.
But to me, again, going back to my thought, life is struggle. It isn't fair from the get-go. Why? We have different heights. We have different weights. We have different genetics. We have different natural talents. If everything had to be fair and equitable, if you will, well, then it's easy. Just let's start with professional sports.
I was just going to use an example of fairness because I was just reading a book to my kids, okay? I was reading a book about lions to my kids, and it was talking about how often lions are successful in their hunt. Mm. The book is like called Lion versus Gazelle. Mm. And it was actually a little bit surprising. So something like a lion only catches a gazelle like 1 out of 7 times or something like that. So it takes 7 tries.
A ton of energy.
Yeah.
Which is why lions sleep 18 to 20 hours a day.
Right. But the point of this was, so lions go after the sick and the weak, right? Totally makes sense. As a human, reading that to my kids, and this is in this kid's book, right? Like, so the lion goes and kills the sick or the weak ones, you know?
Or the young.
And I could just see the negative reaction in Marin, you know? Like, well, that's not fair.
No, that is fair.
And I'm like, well, if you're the lion and you have to feed your family, that's definitely
fair. Fair from whose perspective?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so that's where, when we say nature is not fair, right? Like any human, whenever we would set up, let's talk about exactly what you talked about, professional sports. If we were going to set this up as a fight, right, a UFC fight, what do? We make sure that the participants weigh the same amount. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make it equitable.
They want to make it fair, mm-hmm. right? Because you wouldn't want some huge guy who's just has way more strength and weight, and just it makes the fight unfair.
Unless that's the game and context that's set up, like all the old Gracie stuff. Anybody could fight anybody.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's the way it was in the beginning, but see how over time,
well, money
humans and money and like whatever, we ended up having to change it to make it quote unquote fair, not like it would be in nature. In nature, it would just be clearly, if you were the big fighter, you would intentionally pick out smaller opponents because mm-hmm. you would increase your chance of winning. That's the way nature works. But it's not, or quote, just, unquote, fair.
Not even sports, just any humans. Kind of performance, any kind of writing piece, academic journals. Okay, well, let's make them equitable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do that. They won't do that.
No, I mean, so I guess the question becomes, what makes something fair? So in competition, right? So what we're talking about here is competition. In nature, it's competition to survive, right? Competition over resources, In professional sports, it's competition for a goal or an achievement, quote unquote, a win or versus a loss. So what makes it fair or not? What makes competition fair or not?
People's perceptions. It goes back to people's perceptions and emotions. Period. That's it. There's nothing else beyond it. It's what is my personal perception of what fairness should be, and I project that out, and then I argue from my belief system. That's it.
I think you're right. I think that was the right answer. I was hoping you'd give something else so we could explore.
Sorry. Well, no, give what you wanted me to give.
No, I just think that the average person on the street, if you came up and asked them that question, they would come up with some other thing. You know what I mean? They'd probably go to the measurements that we're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
So like, oh, if they're fighting, they have to weigh the same. If they're, you know, whatever. Playing basketball, they have to be the same age and the same whatever. Yeah.
Age is a key one. Oh, yeah. Gender. But that's getting bent up now with transgender in sports and Olympics.
I was going to go there.
Great South Park episode years ago. They were so ahead of this topic.
Well, so this is interesting because it touches on exactly what we're talking about now. And it talks about the whole process versus outcome situation that I was talking about. So what this said was research consistently finds that when people get unfavorable outcomes, but they believe the process that was used to make the decision was fair, they react more positively. Like they're still disappointed, but they accept it.
Yes, I know this very clearly from mediation.
Right. And so they accept it. They stay loyal to the institution that made the decision. And that's called the fair process effect. It's a known thing mm-hmm. in psychology. However, the University of Michigan did some research in 2009 that identified an important caveat to this effect. And we're seeing it now, especially in like politics with the elections and stuff. It said that when there's an unfavorable decision and it's very important to someone, like it's central to their identity as a part of their group or their personal values, then they look for flaws demonstrating that the process
in
used
the process.
To make the
decision that's what Trump did.
Was unfair.
That's what Trump
exactly.
trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's like, well, I'm a Republican. We lost. The process must have been unfair. So then they blame the election. Like, oh, it was fraud. The election was rigged.
Right. You know? Or at least he is, and he still is.
Right.
He's saying it was stolen.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's something that is a caveat to the fair process effect, right? Mm-hmm. So if – and here's where I brought that in. If it has to do with your identity, and now you're talking about – you know, when I was saying, oh, if you're going to have competition, we would think it would be fair to have the same age group and the same gender, right? And you were like, oh, well, now that's getting fucked with the whole gender thing. There you go. Identity. So you've got this collision.
The other thing, though, is that you can only question the fairness of the process if you have clout. If you don't have clout, they're going to – as soon as you start questioning the process, the system shuts you down.
Right.
Trump had clout.
Right.
Well, in terms of the transgender stuff, any of these single individuals do not, but organized together as a group, they do. So, well,
and I think that's also interesting where
– and I'm not for or against it. I just want to be clear on this. I don't have experience with this. I don't have kids in sports where that's affecting them. So I don't have a strong opinion on this one way or the other. So I'm a ignorant neophyte on this topic. I just know that it ties in to fairness.
Me too. And what I was going to say is the clout thing. Technology, social media and whatever gives people quote unquote platforms to, so it gives people clout, whether they've,
it can allow them to attain clout.
It can allow them to distribute their message, right? So now whether or not people want to hear it or believe it or not, they can distribute that message more efficiently because of it. And the reason I bring that up is because I did see exactly this. Somebody posted something about there was a transgender swimmer in Pennsylvania, I think, won the collegiate state champion or something ship. And like beat the pool record, right? And somebody on social media posted a video of it and said, you know, just straight up, they didn't even say anything about their opinion to it. They just said, this happened, right? And showed the video, and clearly the transgender swimmer was like a pool length ahead of everybody else. And that was enough to trigger all these comments about fairness, right? We're talking about fairness.
Of course.
And clearly there were people who interpreted that as being unfair.
Yep.
So yeah, whether we take a position on that or not on this show.
What's cool is I don't have to, because it's just not a topic on my radar for me. Now, if Claudia was playing basketball and all of a sudden they let some boy her age come in, and she's just dominating the league, well, then I'd probably dig in and form a stronger, coherent opinion, but I don't have to at this point.
Yeah. You think that would be unfair if Shaq put on a wig and
that would be awesome.
That's like the South Park episode from years ago. Macho Man Randy Savage comes in and he's in the Olympics in some female sport, and the person's looking at him. I identify as a woman now, and I'm here to dominate these broads. It was awesome.
Oh, hilarious. I love South Park.
So when I hear fairness, it does make me think of mediation, my mediation experience. I hear two things: impartiality and neutrality. And I believe that process piece. If you can get people to agree on the process, the fairness of the process, and the point that the process itself or the person implementing the process is impartial, is neutral, or as I like to say, I got no dogs in this hunt, you're on great footing moving forward. Because then you can always tie back to that and say, oh, we agreed to this up front. But that's when you get a Trump or a person like Trump or a person with tons of political power, right, financial power. Well, then at any point they can just poo-poo the process if they see fit, if they're not getting the outcome they want. Normal folks can't do that as easily.
Well, and I think when they do what you're saying, they drag identity into it.
Well, yeah, of course. Identity is always there. Three things are always there in any difficult conversation: identity, emotions, what happened. Most people start with what happened, back and forth, he said, she said, et cetera, et cetera. My identity is being questioned. They're saying I'm not a competent person. Third one, am I worthy of love? What's going on here? My feelings are hurt. And those things are always wound up.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And but, I think obviously the what happened, you have to look at that for what it is, right? Emotions, your emotions are your emotions. They're going to happen. It's like the Viktor Frankl quote, right? Like you have to control your response. And most people don't understand that, and they just let their emotions drive their behavior. But that's a topic for a different day. But then that identity piece, I think, is what's so important, because it always comes back to, in these situations, when we're just talking about fairness, are we talking about an individual or are we talking about a group? Because that really matters.
Well, yeah, because society today is going, it's leaning to the group side.
Well, they're always attaching groups to individuals and being like, you should treat this individual as a part of the groups that they are in.
Mm-hmm. That's when exactly.
When it's like, well, why, right? Yeah.
If I'm not doing anything that's unfair or unjust or out of the ordinary to this person, that just doesn't make sense to me. It's always subsuming the individual to a group, which I think is unfair in and of itself.
Yeah, and I think it goes to the point of – it goes back – you know, you talked about that meme, right? And so that what that meme is saying, I think, is, you know, you should group people by their heights, and then that should be how high the box that they stand on is, right? When really it's like, well, there are people of different heights of all kinds of different ages and abilities. Who's to say what is in one person's ability to get their own ladder or get their own, get another box that they can stand upon, right? Like that meme is so
one
dimensioned.
The fastest kid runs to get the box and gets it. And then someone's like, well, hey, this other kid's shorter. Yeah, but he didn't use his speed to go get the box.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you could really pick it apart. Yeah. But to me, that meme is out there and very popular. Systems thinking is another thing that I think of with fairness. Input, throughput, output. So usually when people start arguing about fairness, identity is involved, what happened is involved, emotions are involved. But I also think they're on two different parts of that system. Usually someone's talking about the output and somebody else is thinking about what they put into it or what they did with those inputs, how they changed it, the throughput. And I think a lot of arguments could be more effective for both parties if they focus, okay, what are we talking here? Are we talking the inputs to the system? Are we talking what we're doing with it, the effort we're putting into it to change things? Or are we talking about the outcomes and the consequences and responsibilities of those outcomes? But people don't want to do that because argumentation's fun. Argumentation's about power and identity and feeling good and dunking on others and making them look stupid. So that, again, that's too structured. People don't want to do that.
Well, there's something enticing about focusing on equality of outcome, okay? Especially when you talk about what's fair. Because you can think about someone who's like, oh, man, I just want everyone to be happy. I just want everyone to experience positive emotions. And so even if I make the input part of the equation fair, you still got the throughput and the output might not be equal. In that situation. And I want everyone to be happy, equally happy. So I want the outcome to be the same. So you get what I'm saying. It's almost like the idea of communism, right? It's like,
well, it is.
It's that a good idea.
It.
Yeah.
I want everyone to study the same amount of time. And on the test, I want everyone to get the same grade.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen.
Right. It's like a utopian idea. So
but it is. It's good. It's a great idea. It's just not how the world works in practice. We could make it very concrete. My kids are downstairs playing Nintendo Switch. How do I create fairness? Timer. I create the timer. The timer's on. When the timer dings, the other kid gets to choose the game. But now let's let real world creep in. Benny's kicking butt on Mario Kart. He's on his last race. He's already done two of three races. He's in second place. Timer goes off. Claudia resets the game. My turn. Is that fair?
Right? I mean, yeah, that's a good
example. Well, that's life. I mean, it's so easy to talk through this shit. So that's where life creeps in and it becomes difficult. So in the legal sense, yes, it's her turn now. But that's where communication, self-determination, cooperation, collaboration comes in. And be like, I'm in the middle of this race. I'll give you a couple an extra minute on yours. Like, that's where humanity should come in to alter the system that's created. You shouldn't change people to fit the systems. You should change systems to fit the people.
Okay.
So hiring, you got to hire somebody for Central. Your candidates. How do you make a fair decision? Hiring's totally subjective.
It is totally subjective.
There's no objectivity. If you do an interview, it's not objective.
No, not at all.
So how do you make that decision? How is it fair to the other candidates, Dave?
Yeah.
Who you hire?
I mean, it's not.
Okay, fair enough.
it's sad that you say that, but like, I mean, I'll just straight up say you can't. If it was really going to be fair, you would have to make it
totally anonymous. Totally anonymous in a competition, like in The Social Network. You want a job at Facebook? Here's the competition. Whoever wins it has a job.
Exactly.
That's how I'd do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you could do that for some of your work.
Yeah, you could.
You could create skill-based hiring.
Totally could. It'd just be
– it's a lot of work lot for of you work. Guys to do it, but you could do it.
Yeah.
And someday the government will make us all do that.
Yeah, maybe. Perhaps. Or we'll just all be the same. We'll all be, is it Gattaca? We'll all have genetic enhancement so that we all are super ability.
But yeah, fairness. I mean, I didn't have too much other stuff. What else? Honesty was mentioned in there. So like, can you be fair if you're being dishonest?
That's interesting.
If
you're going for equality of outcome, then there would be situations where dishonesty would need to be baked in order to get equal outcome. Right?
Interesting.
So I would say it depends who you ask.
Yeah. Sam Harris, the philosopher, would say no. He wrote a wonderful little book called Lying and how it detracts from you as a human, and it detracts from every relationship that you bring a lie into, whether it's a lie of omission or a lie of commission. And he has some really interesting points in that. So he would say very clearly no.
Right.
He doesn't believe you can be fair by lying.
But and let me back up what I'm saying, because I'm sure there are people listening to this being like, no, you could have equality of outcome. You don't have to lie. Like, well, no, if we're talking about equal emotion at the end, right, because that's all life is a conglomeration of your emotions and how you felt about something. And I'll even talk about a study which backs up what I'm going to say. It matters to the person, not just the outcome, but how that outcome was achieved. We're not logical, right? We want to feel like this was a just, not what the inputs, the throughput and the output. We want to feel like all of that was just, right? Even if the outcome ends up the same, like if you tell me that I didn't deserve it, but you're going to make it fair, I don't get as good of emotion as if you tell me that I deserved it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there was a study done, and it was talking about how people feel emotionally about quote-unquote fairness, about outcomes, all right? And this was done at UCLA, and they called it the ultimatum game, where person A has a pot of money. In this game, person A has to make an offer to person B to divide the money between the two of them. Person A can make any offer that he wants. Person, there is no negotiation. Person B either accepts or rejects the offer. If person B rejects the offer, neither of them gets any money.
And do they know that up front?
Yes, the rules are explained to them ahead.
Gotcha.
Now, whatever, you got to think about it this way. Whatever person A offers to person B, that is an unearned windfall. Person B didn't do anything to deserve that, right? So let's say the pot is $20 and person A offers $5, right? That's $5 that person B gets for nothing. Okay. He didn't do anything to earn that $5. He never had that money. Person A is the one who had the $20 and is offering this $5, right? So think about it that way. A strict utilitarian would say, take that money, right? But that's not exactly what happens when it comes to the emotions and the outcome. And this is exactly what I'm talking about with the how you get there makes, you know, makes you feel something, right? So basically what the experiment showed was if person A has a pot of $10 and they offer person B $5, person B tends to feel like that is a fair offer for whatever reason, like they deserve any of it in the first place. And when they accept it, they feel emotionally positive about it, right? Now, whenever person A has the $20 pot or more, and they offer that same amount, that same $5, oftentimes person B accepts it because now they have $5 rather than zero, right? So they're still incentivized to accept it, but they feel like they got gypped and they feel a negative emotion.
Well,
so
yeah.
In each instance, they both end up with $5, right? So you're person B.
Yeah, from a rational actor economic model, they get the same thing.
Exactly.
But it's the perception of fairness that they don't like.
Exactly.
Right. You're out with your buddies getting hammered. Somebody finds $20. Instead of dividing it up equally among the four people, one guy's like, well, I'm keeping 10. I found the 20.
So let's talk about equality of outcome and where lying would come in this situation. This is a business situation. This amount of money that is getting divided is given to person B is a bonus that is coming out of a profit pool. Person B doesn't know what the profit pool is. You offer them something, they accept it, they say thank you, they get the $5, and they ask you, how much was in the profit pool? If you tell them the truth, well, there was $25, right? And I'm the only employee, yeah. And you only gave me $5, yeah. That's a ripoff. Now they feel bad, now it's negative, right?
But that's
but you tell them that it was $10. I'm the only employee. Yeah, and I'm giving you half.
But
I'm
there's ways
half.
To
oh,
but there's
happy.
Ways to respond to that question. Sam Harris would say without lying.
Okay.
And so, well, that's proprietary information. One, two. We don't talk about personal salaries amongst the group. Two. Yeah, it just depends. You know,
I'm not saying lying is good.
Now, I'm not disagreeing, but yeah. I'm just saying. You're making a very nuanced example, and I'm making it more nuanced. You could easily answer that without lying.
I know, and you could. But
even, you're saying lie, well, just for my example.
And the smart here's the smart person B being withheld that information would assume that it was unfair mm-hmm. because you're not being open and honest and transparent.
Of course.
So, yeah. So what I'm saying is what you said, like, you know, in the instance where you're trying to have equality of opportunity or equality of outcome, oftentimes the only way to do that is to lie.
Well, in the business world, that's where all the metrics come in. You know, it's like, okay, well, here's your ceiling you can earn for your bonus. Here's the floor you can earn for your bonus, which is zero. So then based on your performance metrics, you're going to be somewhere in this range. So to me, it would be communicating the bonus process ahead of time so that people then aren't even questioning it.
Right, right. Well, this totally makes sense in the business perspective. I'm just talking about in the real world.
Yeah, there's,
you know, we were asking
shades
about
of gray.
Like, oh, what's the utopian situation, the thing that's the most fair? And what I'm saying is in life, people don't have equal abilities. They don't have equal inputs.
Dave's coaching softball. Dave signed up to be an assistant coach in Webster Groves for Marin's, his daughter's team. And I guess nobody else stepped up. And so, ta-da, Dave is now the head coach. Right, right. So is that fair or unfair? Unfair, because he didn't want to be the head coach, but he's stepping up to the plate and assuming that. So that's the first example of fairness or unfairness in this. Next one, we get to first game of the season. The unstated rule is this is for fun, to get the kids out there and interested in the game, right? The unstated assumption is equal playing time for all the kids on the field. Well, Dave says Marin's got some decent skill. I'm keeping her in the game the whole time. And I'm not putting her out. Fair or unfair? Tons of people become coaches of their kids' teams to leave their kid in and get their kid more skill and get their kid more practice.
Oh, it's a great – I think it's Outliers.
Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah, that talks exactly about this. Yeah.
So my point is when you're doing that, which is very real for a lot of people, what's fair?
Yeah.
Now, what if the kid is the best goddamn kid on the field? Do we need to sit them to get the kid who doesn't want to be there? Clearly throwing the glove down, mom and dad's making them do it, force them out on the field, they're almost crying. Is that fair?
So I think this goes to the input part. And let me talk about what I was saying, because this is exactly.
And again, I'm not saying give me the answer. I'm just, here's real life examples.
So in that book, and I'm pretty sure it was Outliers, he talks about the Canadian hockey system. And apparently it's really statistically significant how this works in the Canadian hockey system. And it has to do with your age, like when you are born in your year, and therefore what grade you go into, therefore what competition you're up against and their maturity level, and then how you get placed in the very beginning of your hockey career.
It's all tracking is what they would call that in education.
And it turns out that if you are amongst the oldest kids in your grade, and therefore you have up to an additional year of development on your competition, then naturally you're going to have probably physical abilities that are better. And you're going to get put on the A team, right? So now you have the best coaches, you have the best competition, and you are locked in for the most part. As long as you do what you're supposed to do and you develop with what you're given, your chances of staying in the A team are increased. If you're a young kid, so you were born up to a year later, and so you have that disadvantage right from the start, you end up on the B or the C team. Your coaching isn't as good. Your competition isn't as good. Your chances of making it to the A team at any point coming in life are greatly diminished. And they just did statistical analysis of it, and it's egregious how much more.
So how does that tie to the example I gave?
The input, right? Is there fairness in the input in that example? Anyone reading that as a human would say, no, that's not fair, right? No, we should. So, but then it comes down to identity, right?
Who makes the decisions? Who creates the system?
Well, and here's the thing. It comes down to grouping. So how would you group it fairly? Well, we would have all these leagues where the kid's born in the same month. You know, and
but that's my point. It's about who creates the system. It's all about the system creation.
No, you're right.
Think about how some of the European – I don't know which ones, but some of the European soccer leagues have a really interesting setup that I learned about recently that I would like to see come to professional sports in the U.S. what happens in professional sport here, this, and this is pure fairness, professional sports in the U.S., these are the most competitive people in the world. They've devoted their whole life to a single sport, and they only want to win and be the best. Even the worst players in the league, that's how they are. What do some owners decide to do? Tank the team. Why? That means they don't invest in it. They trade away good players. They deliberately, like Stan Kroenke did with the Rams, try to make them finish towards the bottom so then they can make business decisions with the team. They can get better draft picks, right? How can you prevent that? Build a better system or a different system. What do they do in the European soccer leagues? The teams that finished in the last, you're now out of this professional league. Now you're in double A. Now you're in triple A, single A. You knock down, you have to earn your way back into the league. So my point is the power is, it's almost pre-input. It's, what word could we even say? It's like the system that even determines what the
incentives
input, that the inputs get to be.
Yeah. The rules and incentives.
It goes back to centralization, decentralization. It goes back to control, power, and authority, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you 100%.
No, so these are, I like these because this is where decision-making, choice, opportunity cost, consequences live is in these daily decisions.
Well, and here's as a business owner, you were talking about, oh, well, you know, you don't have to tell them the amount of money that was in the bonus pot, blah, 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 right? Sure, but I know that if I don't do that, then they're going to assume that it was unfair. They're going to assume that they weren't treated fairly, or else why wouldn't I just tell them? And so what I would like to do is exactly what you're talking about. I would like to be able to think through ahead of time, if this situation ever happens, how can I set up a system, a structure, so that I don't have to lie, right? Like they end up feeling good because they understand the full process and they have all the information. And at the end,
if it's not a good fit, go be successful and happy elsewhere.
Yeah. And it's exactly what the study talked about how people feel okay. That it's that, what was it called? The fairness
process.
Anyway, people feel doctrine. Okay. Yeah, people feel okay about the outcome, even if it's an unfavorable decision for them, so long as they understand the process that was used to arrive at that, and they feel that was fair.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's what I tell my managers and my clients. People at work don't want friends. They want fairness. Be transparent and clear about processes and decision-making. How are these decisions made? What criteria? And this is where people mess up. Decisions are made based on criteria. Most people don't think through that or aren't aware of that. So articulating what criteria we're using to make the decisions is very important in life, not just business, but in family life as well.
Yes. Well, friendships, any relationship-based thing. And the teams, the team situation, when you're talking about a kid's sports team. Right. And just looking at it again, it's the fair process effect, the tendency for fair procedures to mitigate negative reactions to unfavorable decisions.
But again, to me, it's all about clarity.
Yeah.
Some leagues are about, this is about fun. It's about socializing. A rec league. Hey, let's get out here, see if we like this sport, right? So Benny's playing and Dylan's playing ball. They're five. The coach, I went and met him. He's like, look, this isn't about like crazy hardcore competition and traveling. He's
right.
Like, we're just trying to teach basic skills and make sure they have fun.
Right.
There's traveling teams, I found out already. There's traveling teams for five-year-olds where it's you got to try out to make the team. One, somebody we know, he coached his son's seven and eight-year-olds, and he was cutting seven and eight-year-olds. And so I asked him point blank, I'm like, how's that? How's that feel, man, when you're talking to a seven or eight-year-old and you say, sorry, you didn't make the team? And he immediately looked down and broke eye contact and got quiet.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just like, that's fucking crazy to me, but that's the league. That league is about that. So hey, cool man, do you?
Dude, they got to go play on the Canadian B team,
right?
Right. Get the hell out of here.
But to me, that's still fair because that was their league. It would be unfair of me to say, well, they're too young. You shouldn't focus on competition. No, fuck that. That's that league. They set it up that way. If your kid's not competitive or you don't want them in that environment, there's plenty of other social based leagues.
And that was going to be my point. Was you decided to participate in? So it's the fair process effect,
right?
As long as you're open and honest about the process and everyone agrees this is what the process is going to be, then even if an unfavorable outcome happens, they have to at least recognize, all right, well, it was a fair process. We agreed to the process ahead of time. So fine, this is what happened. Yeah, and it could be the opposite if you're talking about, because you were like, well, what if it's just a for fun league, right? What if you ended up with a super competitive person on the for fun league who was like, hey, I get an extra
at bat. I'm not sitting down.
Yeah,
right.
Why the hell am I sitting on the bench here? You know, Joe sucks. He can't hit the ball for shit. We're about to lose this game.
You pull a Colin Farrell from True Detective 2 and you go beat the shit out of the dad in front of the kid.
Exactly.
Hey, that was fair, Tommy. Well, I don't know, man. I think I feel pretty good about where we're at. Do you have any other key points?
No, I think we did a much better job with this because, you know, we were talking about how this is such a tough topic.
Well, because it's abstract and it can be sensitive depending on how you talk through it.
Oh, when it comes to matters of life and death, let's talk about that. Okay. Because we're talking about stuff which is like rewards and blah, blah, money and sports. And okay. Yeah. Okay. So we can all get over that. We'll end up with our negative emotions, but we'll get over it. But when you talk about nature and you're just brutally raw about nature and say, okay, well, what about when it comes to life and death? Because when we're talking about the lions and gazelle thing, we're talking about something living or dying. We're not talking about whether it gets a bigger bonus at work.
Well, okay, let's make it human. Death penalty.
Well,
people in jail for decades and our court system being like, no, we're not going to go back and apply any DNA evidence and just continuing to kill people who didn't commit crimes, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah,
we could really get in the deep end on that conversation.
Or the fact that they're in prison to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, so the unfairness of certain laws that target certain groups, which has very clearly happened to African Americans in this country for years with marijuana specifically.
Right. And I was for sure. What's the movie?
Reefer Madness?
No, it might be Half Baked. Or it could be one of the mafia movies. Anyway, he's like, I crossed an imaginary line with some imaginary –
That's Blow.
Oh, Blow, yeah. Cross an imaginary line with some plants that are imaginarily illegal, whatever.
Right, and the judge is like, well, unfortunately, those lines are very real, and those plants are illegal.
Yes.
And so
yes.
She came back with that.
So you're going to prison.
So you can create unjust or unfair laws for huge groups of people – just because they're a group of people that the lawmakers don't like. And then that can lead to life and death, life or death, or loss of life through murder or loss of life through incarceration.
Yeah. It's so interesting how we can call out clear situations where the system appears to be unfair. It appears to be unfair. We'll say it that way, right? And some of them, there's intention behind it that matters, right? So clearly, if we're talking about minorities being incarcerated at a higher rate, like, what is the intention there? It seems like there's a nefarious intention.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if you talk about things like affirmative action or college admissions, where it appears to be unfair to the unbiased observer based on ability, because you end up with kids – who have the same ability as other kids.
But don't have the identity.
But don't have the identity. Yep, they get skipped over and not admitted to the college because the kids that are in the other group, right, the other identity group, are prioritized, right? And that appears to be unbiased.
We saw a huge lawsuit with that with Asians, actually, at Harvard.
Yes, I heard, like, Asians are getting – they even have the hardest standards to get in now because of their identity group that they're a part of. So to an unbiased observer, that appears – unfair, but if you think about intention, you're like, well, I understand the intention, though.
Yeah, right? But intent isn't impact.
Right. I know, but that's what I'm saying about.
Right.
About
that's what
they would say.
It's hard. Yeah. Well, and that's where it's like build a different system, build a better mousetrap. You know, that's where I always go. And I know that's hard work, really hard work, but that's why I love America.
Well, and that's where I was think I was going to go with when we were talking about this last part here. I wanted to go with nature. With the whole life and death thing.
But we are part of nature. We already said that.
But, and what I'm saying is it's indiscriminate whether you get cancer or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing fair
is good. You're a two-time cancer guy.
That's what I was going to
say. So was that fair, Dave?
Well, I'm alive right now, you know, and there are people who got the same thing that I got that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's not fair, you know? Damn, like when I actually stop to think about it, it's like, wow. Nature selected me to die when I was a teenager. That is, you can't argue against that. That happened, you know, and I'm still alive. So, like, is that fair?
again, from whose perspective?
Right, right. I mean, and
you got a really you got a really good doctor to work with. What about people right. that were in your that didn't get a good
or
doctor?
Or were born in any other country that mm-hmm. doesn't have the medical, you know, facilities that we have, or didn't have insurance at that time, mm-hmm. or you let's just go down the list. You know, what's that movie with Julia Roberts where the guy gets cancer and Erin Brockovich.
Mm.
Erin Brockovich.
Yeah, yeah. She's like the paralegal helping
yeah,
out.
She goes after this big company because mm-hmm. they're giving
asbestos
people cancer
or something. Or like, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, a fertilizer, I think. Hmm. But anyway, gosh, I mean, fairness is.
But that's where acceptance. This is it, again. It's a dialectical tension. It's a things that are in a push and pull. So of course, fairness is important. But on the other end of things, life isn't. Fair. Life is struggle. So acceptance versus change. There's a lot of things that I think all of us would be happier if we learned to just live with and accept. But then there are plenty of other things that we shouldn't live with and accept that are truly unfair and need to be changed. And guess what? There's no authority or there's no playbook someone's going to hand you to be like, hey, here's the things that you should organize around to change. Like you have to make that decision. And that's hard.
And I think that's the perfect place to wrap this episode. I mean, it matches all the principles that we talk about. You can go listen to all the topics that we talk about up to this point, and it comes down to exactly what you just said. There are some things, understanding what is in your sphere of control and what is without.
It's the serenity prayer. Like, yeah. You know, whether you like God or not, it's God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. That's like the best mantra, or if you're religious or spiritual, prayer that you can say. Like yeah. That could apply to every decision you make every day of your life.
Agreed.
Nice. Well, change challenges for fairness. Do you have any?
Not off the top of
yeah,
my head.
Yeah, I didn't have any specific ones either. I guess something you could do, think about, this is a reflective one. Think about the last decision you made that you know was unfair, that you made. It was an unfair decision, and jot down two or three bullet points about why you made it. We've all made decisions that we know when we're making it, it's not a fair decision, but we, for whatever reason, had to bite the bullet and be unfair or unjust. Jot that down. Think through that, why that occurred.
Okay. I think I've got one. And it comes down to understanding the emotions behind fairness. So in the next time that you are in a transaction of some kind, lose on purpose, right? If it's a competition that is a game, lose. If it is a monetary transaction, give more than you should. Whatever it is, lose on purpose. And pay attention to the emotion that you have. For some reason, when it's a voluntary thing, even though it's unfair and we're on the losing end, our emotions feel much better, right? So do that. Lose on purpose and remember how that feels to lose on purpose, okay?
You're saying it feels better to do that?
It feels better to lose on purpose than the next situation where you lose and it's outside of your control. You will have a much worse
interesting,
negative emotion.
I got to push you here. We got to go a little longer.
Okay.
Throwing a basketball game for money. You're losing on purpose. You're not going to have positive.
That, you're winning money. That's not true. You are getting something out of that.
You're telling me even the players that do that, you're saying they're going to have a more positive mental, emotional experience? No,
they're doing
way,
it on purpose,
dude.
They're doing it on purpose for money. They're being compensated. They're not
That's
losing.
Okay. I agree to disagree on that.
Okay. So I'll say this. They're not – I would argue that they're not losing in that transaction. Okay? They are –
They're losing everything
their objective
in that transaction.
Their objective is not – well, let's think about it this way. Their objective there is not to win the game.
You would teach your kids in that you're not losing.
No.
That's the lesson you draw from them?
I would tell them they're it's morally bankrupt and at the end of the day – but in
exactly. At the end of the day, it's a total loss.
But their intention – how's that?
Okay. Now
their intention is being fulfilled, right? So here's what I'm going to say. In the thing that I'm talking about, your intention is being fulfilled, okay? So you are intentionally losing either a game or
– A negotiation.
Negotiation or whatever. I don't know. Like,
go to a car dealer and try to pay more.
Tip somebody too much, okay, and see how that feels. It actually feels like, oh, I'm doing something good. I'm blah, 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 right? Versus getting overcharged on your meal, right? same thing. You end up paying more for the same thing. One of them, you did it intentionally. You feel cool. You feel
that
fine
I
with,
like. That
maybe
I like.
Even good about. The other one, you feel like you got ripped off.
You got robbed.
And you feel negative.
So for me, again, it goes back to the how we opened this up. It is about your conception and perception of what fairness is. Your belief system around what is, do I know the process? Is it impartial? Is it neutral? What's going on here? So we started this off and talked about, you know, fairness is about some amount of justice being equitable. We talked about the difference between fairness and opportunity and fairness and outcomes. Trying to think about systems. Everything in this world is a system. Everything is an input to another system. It's all connected. So that's systemic thinking. We talked about different types of fairness in our daily life, which surround us from our relationships and parenting opportunities and business opportunities. But we also talked about fairness philosophically and what you can draw from that and whether you should have a hard and fast rule that you apply universally to all situations. I think I believe it's nuanced and we live in the gray in life. But being clear about the system or process you're using and how that is impartial and neutral is an important part of fairness, probably more so than the actual outcome itself. So hopefully you enjoyed this. We thought this one was going to suck, but it ended up bringing some energy out in us. And as we say at Life Lab, experiment with life.